We are so blessed. Amen. We're blessed to have a wonderful music department that can just bring us right into the presence of the Lord. Oh, we don't realize really how nice we have it. We're not all the same going from church to church. I appreciate what the Lord has given us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good to us. Our desire, Lord, tonight is that you would be glorified. Our desire tonight, oh God, that all of us, Lord, can just put aside the things of the world, put aside, Lord, our complexes. Put aside anything, Lord, that would hinder us, Father, from coming right into your presence. Lord, I feel your presence even now, and we are grateful, Lord, for that. We pray that each and every one is able to enter right in, not only here, Father, but those that are online. Pray that you bless each one, Father. Help us, O God, to give us ears to hear, hearts, Lord, that are supple, willing to change, Lord. Correct us, Father, anything, Lord, where we need correction. Lord, you are indeed the potter. We are the clay. So with that, Father, we just want to surrender our all to you tonight and say, Lord, just have your way. Grant it, Lord. Father, we ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Amen. And God is good. I thank the Lord so much for his goodness. I thank the Lord for each one of you. I feel immensely blessed, honest and truly, to be associating with the caliber of saints that God has given to us. And I don't mean that as flattery. I really am grateful for the sincerity that you approach Christ, you approach the Word, you approach your life and trying to apply God's Word to your lives. Amen. We're all striving for that, I believe. I know we don't do it perfectly, and I'll be the first one up here to confess that I certainly don't do that perfectly, but I've got the utmost faith that God is still working with this person right here. And what he has started, he's going to finish.
Amen.
And I believe that you all have got that same confidence. Amen. Tonight. Amen. Amen. So we are very thankful to the Lord indeed. If we would, please, in honor of God's word, if you wouldn't mind, grabbing your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 91. Whatever the Lord does, even if it hurts, He does it for our betterment. Amen. We're so thankful to the Lord. His love is beyond comprehension. Amen. Psalm 91, we're going to start 1 through 10. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with the feathers, with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust His truth. Shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for your word. We just pray that you break to us the bread of life. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn over to one more scripture, if you would, please. Matthew 24:2. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Amen. Amen. So I find, you know, as this approach tonight, I'm kind of coming at it at a different angle, but I have an overall theme. And I just love the song service. I love the choice of the songs. It just seems, Lord, it just hovering over us. Amen. And I believe that the Lord is wanting to get us to a place. And I want to elaborate on that in just a minute. But it is interesting that the Lord, when he was bringing his disciples and he was showing and he was declaring different things to them, he was not afraid to point out the bad news. He wasn't afraid to show different things that was going to happen. Amen? But he had a but. And that but was, he said, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. There shall not one stone be left upon another. Okay? They shall hate you. They shall even deliver you up to be killed. But have no fear. I am with you. Amen? Your Father is with you. And when they received the Holy Ghost, they had absolutely no fear of death whatsoever. Even Paul says, I do not count this life dear. This life is nothing. They somehow, that veil was rent open and they could see beyond there and they could see a dimension that was more real than this dimension. And they had their eyes fixed on that. A lot of times in this life, too, we have a lot of things that are going on, and it draws us away from this beyond the veil, and it puts us, grounds us here. Okay, we can see a lot of things that take place. And none of them are good, okay? All right? But that isn't all the things that we see take place right here. It isn't for us. And that's the thing to realize. There's a lot of various things that are happening, and it's not for us. The Lord is allowing things to happen in this world right now so that his judgment can fall. Okay? All right? He has to bring to pass certain conditions that when his judgment falls, he is totally justified in what it is that he is doing. He makes it clear to everybody that they have it coming. You know, when a kid acts up, okay? Well, this is not a kid, though. He's not a child. He's dealing with wickedness. It's different. But even a child who acts up, they know they have it coming, right? Parents teach them, you know, what's right and wrong. Okay? You notice in Israel, they had a righteous king at the very last. And Josiah, remember how it was? He opened up. They found the book. I don't know what they've been doing all those years. They found the book in the temple. They brought it to him and they read it to him. He rent his garments. He says, oh my. He says, we've transgressed God's laws. Our forefathers have transgressed all these things that the Lord told us not to do. And we've been doing them all. That's terrible. And his judgment, God's judgment is hanging over us. What is going to happen? So he instructed them to go and to seek the Lord, to ask, you know, inquire of God. What is going to happen? And they spoke to the prophetess, and he said, go see Josiah and tell him, yes, all the things that you've read in my word are true. My judgment is upon you, and all the things that you've heard shall happen. I will judge you. But because you've humbled yourself, because you've had contrite heart before me, it shall not come in your lifetime, but after. Okay? And that's exactly right. When he died, his son raised up. His son, unfortunately, was evil. He did horrible things, wicked things. And then the judgment hand of God came down. All right? But God, even there, he had people that believed in him. Even there, he had a remnant. He had people that were faithful. And the Lord has a provision for his people. And it's always been like that. Amen? So these are troublesome times. That isn't going to be my emphasis tonight, but we need to set a context here, because here it is where we have to have faith. We have to confront these things here that are confronting us day by day. And wherever we have these things, the Lord gives us a provision. He gives us a way that we can go through. Amen? There have always been troublesome times. Today is not the first time God's people has to go through some trouble sometimes. We in America, we're not even yet getting what Christians, believers are suffering around the world. Famine, corruption in government, churches that are being taken over and the people deposed and they're taken over by the state. And, you know, they're forbidden to gather and worship. But do you think that hinders their faith at all? Not at all. In fact, every time Satan through the ages has done that and he persecuted his people, that caused them to be more zealous and more faithful in their approaching God and hanging on to God. You know, you look at the Hebrew children, you know, they were confronted with a fire. Imagine that. That's a reality. And they were so angry at their response that they heated it 7 times. Now think about that. When your trials are the hottest, when it is the scariest for you, the Lord wants us to face those conditions by faith. It's just amazing. And yet, in those times comes the greatest testimonies. Okay? This is where God wants to glorify himself. When he puts you under these extreme tests. When you're under extreme, feels like duress, that's where the Lord will meet you, right there. Have faith. They had faith. How much of that fire did they feel? I don't know. But their captors sure felt it. Right? They keeled over dead. And when they came and they walked up right into the fire and say, well, this is different. Can you imagine how they felt? I mean, seriously. Their binds burned right off of them. Wow. But they didn't feel it. How much of it they felt, I've got no idea. The Bible doesn't say. But when the king looked down in there and he saw that there was a fourth man likened unto the Son of Man, it caused him to be, it obviously got his attention, okay? It's just an amazing thing how the power of God came in there. He hearkened and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out of there. And they did. And not even the smell of smoke was on them. Think about that. We're talking about a miraculous God. God's affliction, the afflictions that God allows on his people only to bring about his glory. Think about that. Look about Daniel. Same thing. And you think about Daniel being thrown into the lions. Have you ever seen that picture? God's answer to the king. That's just incredible. Regardless of what, I'm going to serve God. I don't care what the world puts up on me. I don't care what restrictions they say that we can or we cannot do. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to even hide it. I'm going to be open about it. He went about like he normally did. He didn't change any of his habits. He went right on. He had this one purpose, and that is he wanted his heart dedicated to the Lord his God. And God was so pleased, so honored. He was with him He's thrown into the pit, and those lions, he didn't even bite. They took away their appetite, closed their mouths, right? And to prove that they still were very hungry lions, those men that gathered and that contrived and had conspired against them. They threw them in, their wives, their children. The Bible says before they even hit the bottom of that pit, those lions broke their bones. Our Lord is a wonderful, delivering God. He cares for His children. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perishes though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now I'm telling stories that you all are very familiar with, and I wasn't even planning necessarily to bring it out quite this way, but I feel impressed of the Lord. I do not know what God personally is going to have each one of us go through. I've got no idea. But I have this faith that whatever He is allowing us through His grace to go through, He's going to give us the faith to go through it.
Amen.
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 Exactly. Amen. We have a place, a perfect rest, near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Think about that. Hold us who wait before Thee near to the heart of God. That is where I believe the Lord wants us to dwell. Not with the troubles of this world. He wants us to be so enraptured with the person of Jesus Christ. Totally enthralled with His being. Is to know Him is to know life. There's no death whatsoever. There's no unbelief in Him whatsoever. There's no darkness. He casts out all darkness. In Him is perfect light, right? And the thing is, nothing can harm us there. Remember the rapture message. He is that cleft. He is that pavilion over us. He is the place that He hides us in. He is perfectly all of that. And that is where we are to abide. Let's turn to John chapter 15. Again, this has been so much on my heart. And again, I return to it. And the reason why it is, Brother Branham even said, now we need to lay in the presence of the Son. Right? And ripen. What is to lay in the presence of the Son? Well, I believe John 15 is exactly that. Let's start reading, if we would. He says, Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, the farmer. Okay? The vine tender. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What does He desire of us? Fruitfulness. He desires that we be fruitful. That is what we're called to be. We are called to be fruitful. We're not just supposed to be called to be growing out from Him in our abiding. He also wants us to be fruitful. And how does He get us fruitful? He does it. Well, He answers the question. He purges it. Right? So it's His prerogative. It's His right. It's His will. It's His desire to purge us. Every one of us is going to get purged. Have no fear. It's going to happen. Amen? Why? So we can be more fruitful. And He does it because He's enthusiastic over us. He wants us to receive His very best. He wants you to express you the way that He designed you. He wants that fruitfulness to come out fully, exactly as He has in His mind, that His whole body together and fruitful plants and fruitful vines going forth and showing forth His very nature, His very character, His very life, His perfection. He's showing forth His perfection in His body. It's tremendous. He purges us to put us in the best position to receive from Him. And in the receiving from Him, we're in the best position to appreciate it. You as parents can understand that well, right? You don't want to give anything to your child that they don't appreciate or have any ability whatsoever to appreciate. Our Father is not going to have spoiled children, and certainly the members of the Bride of Jesus Christ are not going to be spoiled. Amen? These are not the ones. Spoiled children are not adopted children, going into the age of adoption. We understand now biblical adoption, right? We do those things that are pleasing to our Father. That's what we're talking about. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. For us to receive right, our character has to be right. Amen. John 15:4, let's keep reading here. He says, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me." These are common, these are Sunday school basic things that we've heard, but they've got to go beyond just an understanding and something that we've heard so much it gets threadbare, it gets trite, it loses its value, its meaning, but this is the key right here. And Jesus was telling His disciples the key. In order for you to be fruitful, you got to abide in me. How much do you have to abide in me? If you don't abide in me, you cannot bear fruit. For only in me will you be fruitful. Amen? He says, "I am the vine," verse 5, "ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And again, for without me you can do nothing." So how helpless are we then? Totally. How much then is it about us and our abilities then? We're totally out of the picture. We are totally reliant upon the Lord, much like an infant is reliant upon its mother to care for everything that it has need of. We need to see ourselves that helpless. We need to see ourselves that way. We're totally reliant upon the Lord. Okay, now right away you're going through mind, but. We understand we need to walk in obedience to His Word. We understand that there is a will involved. But in that will, Jesus said, "Abide in me." Amen. Don't look to yourself. Amen. So we need to embrace this with all that's within us. And in this process, you can't abide in the vine without death to self. It comes with it. You can't be separate in your ways and abiding in Him at the same time. It doesn't happen. We need to die to ourselves in order to abide in the vine. How do we die to ourselves? It goes back to the question that without me you can do nothing. Even death to self is a product of abiding in the vine. If He tells us that we need to die to ourselves, then He gives us the grace to enter into that death so that we can enter into His life. See, it's our death. It's His life. Amen? Romans 6:11 says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So again, the Lord, through His Word, is directing our minds to consider ourselves, no, we're dead. No, there's nothing about this flesh, as wonderful sometimes as we might think this flesh is, it's not acceptable, okay? Some people think, well, my flesh is just terrible. This flesh can never amount to anything. I'm total reject. God can't possibly love anything like this. You're right. It's not your flesh that He has come to redeem. It's your soul. Your flesh has got nothing to do with it. So quit looking there for anything that is redeemable. The redemption is your soul. Do you hear the Word of God? Do you believe the Word of God? This is how Brother Branham said, you know that you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you can believe the Word for your day and your hour. That is the evidence. Does it draw you? Do you feel it pulling you? Do you feel it coming and constraining you and teaching you and drawing you up higher and higher? And when you hear these truths, it's something like echoing inside that says, yes, I believe that. It's like an echo from before the foundation of the world. It's an eternal truth that you feel it vibrating. Just something inside of you says, amen, yes, that's the truth. Amen? Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." The Lord, through His Word, gives us all these practical things for us to consider and to look at. How do we die to ourselves? Amen. We've answered that question. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Amen. Paul, when he was preaching, his whole life glorified and magnified this one thought, and that was the life of Christ is precious and His will is imperative, and that everything that I do must be to fulfill His will. And I don't care what I have to go through myself. That has nothing to do with it. Amen? You can read 1 Corinthians 15:31. He says, "I assure you," and I'm going to read the Amplified, "I assure you by the pride which I have in your fellowship and union with Christ Jesus our Lord, that I die daily. I face death every day," which he did constantly. His life was threatened.
Yeah.
Right? Constantly. "And I die to myself." Why is that? Because I'm not here to save my life. My life is in His hands. Our lives is in His hands. Can you believe that? Our lives are in His hands.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. That reality of His Spirit in that dimension is so real, we don't count, like Paul says. He said, Acts 20:24, "But none of these things move me," talking about how that he's going to be chained and brought, you know, in chains that confront him if he goes to Jerusalem. He says, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul was so convinced of the life of Christ, he gladly gave his all for it, and trusted not at all in himself. And he had a list of things that if he wanted to, that he could trust in. And he trusted none of it. Aren't you glad the Lord gave us that as an example? He said he was the chiefest of sinners. Okay, so we got that one out of the way. So if you think you're pretty bad, you know, he said he was the chiefest sinner. And he also was the most righteous Pharisee, a Pharisee of Pharisees. So if you think you can good yourself into heaven, he took care of that too. He says none of those things will matter. Not one of those things works. Okay? I'm grateful to the example that the Lord gave through Paul, through his ministry. Paul goes on to say, Galatians 2:20, a very familiar verse, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ, the Creator, the Redeemer, He liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, again, it's not my flesh he's referring to here. Now he's talking about the life that's in there. I live by the faith of, not in, but of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yeah, amen. We need, I hope that's an internalized scripture for us all. Amen. Say the same thing. Amen. I got to share this one quote. It was showed out already. Brother Don shared it earlier, so he's stealing my thunder. That's okay. Lord is good. Aren't you glad? God is so good. He's so mindful of us. Amen. The Holy Ghost is our identification. It's what identifies us as Christians. What it's saying there, the life of Jesus Christ, the literal life of Christ, mm-hmm. is what identifies us. Amen? Not our memberships in churches, not our understanding of the Bible, not how much you know about the Bible. It's how much you know about the author. See how much the author is living in you. What he's talking about there is relationship. What is the bride going to have? She's going to have relationship. Isn't that right? Amen? It's yourself gone. You're no more. You reckon yourself dead. And the token is what lives in you. And it's not your life, it's Him. Paul said, the life that I now live, he lived a different life from what he once did. It's not me, but Christ liveth in me. There is the identified token that God required. Identified with our identification, with our sacrifice. The life of our Savior in us, the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a positive token. There cannot be any more token. Oh my, if you only catch the thought of it, if I had power this morning with words to express and place into your soul, not in your ears, but your soul, you can see the guarantee of it. It makes you so relaxed. Yeah. Yeah, so sure. Positive, sure. You are totally purchased in Christ. It's not you. It's His life. His life is going up. Okay? And all that is in you, amen, your soul, all that is Christ, you are Christ, you're going up with Him. It's done. It's a sealed transaction. Totally. Amen? Amen. So, the Lord wants us to walk in this realm of faith. Because of what He has done. Amen? Now, if we consider what's going on around us, just like Jonah said, he who observes lying vanities forsakes his own mercy. Okay? If we consider the lining of the whale's belly, alright, we forsake our own mercy. That he called a lying vanity. Okay, being inside of a whale, underwater, I don't know how many leagues underwater, and if he, Jonah, has got the grace to call that a lying vanity, I believe God gives us grace in this day to see whatever is going on around us a lying vanity, because what He has declared and where He is more real than the shadow land that we live and everything that's going in it. Amen? 1 John 14 says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In him is no fear. Amen. Perfect love casts out fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Amen. A sound mind. What is that mind? That mind is Christ's mind. In him is perfect love. He's a perfect one. It's his love. He is in us. And if he is in us, then what? Perfect love dwells in us. Perfect love is right here because he is right here. Amen? Amen? Again, your flesh has nothing to do with it. Amen? God's redemption is complete. It's perfect. "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die." I read this already. "But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live." Amen. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's how you mortify. The Bible also says to draw nigh unto God, resist the devil that is in your flesh. Don't give into it. Don't think, "Oh, I just got a temper there, and oh my, I felt like saying something there, but I didn't." You know, right? Just get closer to Christ. Don't look at your flesh. Your flesh has nothing to do with it. Amen. He will change you. Whichever dog you feed the most, that's what's going to have preeminence. Amen? Okay? Now think about that. The Spirit has power over the flesh. Sure he does. Now think of it. If God can make an unbeliever do his bidding, right? He hardened Pharaoh's heart. Think about that. Look at those 10 kings that raised up to have 1 hour to reign with the harlot. God caused those 10 kings to be raised up that they would hate the harlot. Think about that. How is God able to do that? Because he's God. And if God can have power over unbelievers, how much more you and I? Amen? Amen. Don't stumble at that. Thank you, Lord. Right now, Brother Branham said this, Church Age book, "We reign with Christ, having dominion over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, showing forth his praise and glory, showing forth himself, for it is Christ in us, willing and doing of his good pleasure. Yes, indeed, even now we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Even now. Amen. 1 John 5:4 says, "Whatsoever, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." His last commandment to his disciples was to love one another. How much easier should this be getting in the end time? Think about the capstone coming up, right? "For they love, the last thing shall come down is perfect love." Amen. And as darkness is pressing into this dimension, Christ is more inhabiting his bride. He is called to do this. We're getting ready for a body change. Does it not stand to reason that he is pressing himself in? Amen. I had a thought. Maybe it'll come back. But you don't know what's beating beneath that little old skin there. See, the Holy Spirit may be tabernacled there. See, you must never do that. We must be brothers. Treat a man, no matter if he's in wrong, still treat him nice. Be nice to him. If you haven't got that spirit, then there's something wrong. Jesus was nice to those who were ugly to him. See, you must be Christians, full of love, ready to help any race, color, creed, anywhere, anytime. We must be that way. That's Christians. That's the way Christ would have us. And be a Christian is to be Christ-like. Amen? It's putting on the whole armor of God. Think of it. Right now, watch what's going on in this way. And then don't watch it. You see hatred just boiling up more and more, just everywhere. Hatred just rising up. Kind of what you're sharing there about the Tutsi and the Hutu there, you know, or that the Lord told you, Brother Don, about watch that spirit of hatred. See, that's a little foretaste of you know, what's going to happen, you know, in the end time. Terrible, terrible things. But what is somebody going to do outside of Christ? If Christ isn't in there, it's darkness. And if Satan is there, it's hatred. It only stands to reason. Amen. So as this world is getting into a greater darkness, God has His Son back in the world in bride form, showing forth His love, letting His love, as He tells us, to let our light so shine, the darkness all around allows His life to shine brighter through us. Amen? Amen. Amen. John 15:7, I'll pick it up here. He says this, "If you abide in me and the words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done." Everything that we have is in Christ. In Him is power. Everything that we have need of is in Him. Amen? Amen. Okay, I'm just looking through this. We've got a lot here, so I'm trying to sew it up. Brother Branham makes a statement. All things are possible to them that believe. And if you believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that is yours. Every place the soles of your feet can set upon by faith, God gives it you. Amen. It's yours. Possess it. If you can find the key to this law of faith that opens it to you, you see what I mean? That power is controlled by, if you are a son of God, if you are a daughter of God, that never leaves you. It's with you all the time, guys. It's with you all the time. But your faith gets away from it, but it's still there. It's still there. It's with you all the time. Sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't feel it. Sometimes you've got great faith and sometimes it feels like you've got no faith. But it's with you all the time. It's got nothing to do with it. It's with you all the time. John 15:6 says, If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Okay? That's why the Bible warns us to care not for this world or the things of the world. This world is not a friend unto grace. There's only one truth that transforms, and that's Christ. There's a lot of truths out there, but there's only one truth that transforms. Watch what we feed upon, what we lay our eyes upon. I'm preaching this guy right up here, okay? Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Remember, guys, it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay. Summary. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that He may bring forth much fruit. He's going to purge us. Just say when it happens, you say, "Thank you, Lord. Have your perfect way." Amen. Just thank you, Lord. You and I are going to get purged. It's shaping us where nothing but faith remains. No loose feathers. No mindsets contrary to His Word. That's a big one, right? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's so important. Amen? He'll displace self with himself. Amen? And in the end, many things shall take place, regardless of what happens around you. We are hid in Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's just bow our heads if we would. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful, O God, that you have made a way, and that you are the way, the truth, the life, and the door. Oh, Lord, we're thankful for that way. Father, we're at that place where your brother, Brother Branham said that this is that day where I and the Father, you and me and I and you, that dwelling, that oneness, the invisible union of the heavenly bridegroom and earthly bride. Lord, all these things that Brother Branham brought forth and laid in and laid in and laid in again, and how these truths crisscross back and forth and building us up, O God, in faith, knowing, Lord, that it's you that's doing the work, that we can rest fully in it, and that that is your word. And we can say, Lord, having done all, to stand on your word, you're going to fulfill it, you're bringing it to pass, Lord. We feel your spirit, O God, hovering over us, desiring, come up higher. Don't look at the flesh around you. Don't look at your brothers. Don't look at your sisters. Don't look at anything that will distract. But look at Jesus Christ. Lord, truly you are the author and finisher of our faith. So I pray, Lord, take these broken words, Father. And Lord, I pray the words that you spoke, Lord, may it find deep bedding, Lord, within the hearts of your people. And water it, O God, and quicken it to each one, Lord, that the reality of your presence, O God, that we don't go by feeling at all, Lord, but it is seen by many. Hereby is the Father glorified, Lord, when you show forth your fruit in us, it glorifies you. So have your way, Lord, we humbly pray. Be with us and in us, O God. This we ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe we can sing that one song. Jesus, blessed Redeemer. Let me see if I can find it for you. Yes. Near to the Heart of God, I think, is what it's called. That doesn't help. I got 832. I don't think that's right. Let's see if we can find it. Are so nice to me. They have such patience. You need a lot of patience. Oh, that's amazing. Let's try the best we can. I'll try to know. A lot of you guys know it anyway, right? I will read it to you. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest. Near to the heart of God. Let's start out, Kate. Sin cannot molest.
A place where sin cannot.
Near to the heart of God.
Near
blessed Redeemer.
Oh, Jesus, blessed.
Sent from the heart of God.
Sent from the heart of God.
Hold us who wait before thee.
Hold us before thee.
Near to the heart of God.
Near to the heart of God.
There is a place of comfort sweet.
There is a place of comfort
near to the heart of God.
Near to the heart of God.
A place where we, our Savior, meet.
Place where we
near to the heart of God.
Meet near to the heart of God.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer.
Sent from the heart of God. Wait before thee.
Hold us who wait before thee. Near to the heart of God.
There is a place of full release.
There is a place of full release. Near to the heart of God.
A place where all is joy and peace.
A place where all is joy and peace. Near to the heart of God.
Chorus. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer.
Oh, Jesus, blessed
walk this is, isn't it? He puts us in places and he tells you to trust, and he asks you to trust, and he asks you for your faith, and then in all things he gives you the faith to go through what he leads you into. But it's so interesting, I was just thinking, you know, about the prophets, the apostles, you know, when Paul is writing these words, you know, what was he experiencing when he says to be carnally minded is an enemy against God? What had he experienced that he had that in his life? So I guess it's so interesting when you see these things, God, in the early stages of your walk. He says, trust me. And then he leads you along, and pretty soon he puts you in a place where you have to. And the farther you go into him, you'll find that he leads you to a place where you don't have a choice. So where are we? You know, Paul heard the voice, come follow me. Peter heard the voice. John heard the voice, come follow me. Oh, that's a good idea. Something in my heart, I'm going to go. Well, where are we going to sleep tonight? Come and find out. Abraham, come follow me. Where are we going? Come and see. But see, at the end of Abraham's life, he said, raise your hand over your son. Now, at that point, he didn't have any more choices. There's no backing down. There's no backing out. He says, there's no place for any part of carnal mind. And God was there to see him through. Same thing with, you know, look at the men of God. Look at them all. And here we are, getting closer and closer to those times. where he'll take you, and you'll find that the carnal mind is not a comfortable place, right? Carnal sight, carnal thought, carnal everything, and pretty soon you say, I don't have a choice, I have to get into the spirit or I'm going to crash or fall apart, right? Yeah. So what did Paul have to experience when he wrote those words in 2 Corinthians? I was brought to a place where I despaired of life. Why? He says, Paul, I have to teach you to something that you can't, there's nothing you can trust in but me. See, this isn't just going to church, is it? This is a walk with God where he takes you and says, you, Laura, come with me. I'm going to take you on a trip. Okay? Where are we going, Lord? Come and find out. And the love constrains you to your Lord to be with him. But, okay, I tell you what, we're going to go down. We're going to start. Oh, let's go to Italy. Nice, comfortable. Oh, okay, we've spent enough time in Italy, now we're going to Kazakhstan. Okay, then I tell you what, let's go into the pits of the enemy's hell. You know what I'm saying? And each one gets more progressively dangerous. It's like, David, let's take a trip to Venezuela. You know? Let's see what we can experience there. How's our faith? You know what? Wherever he takes you, he'll lead you. And wherever he takes you, you'll find that it's there for you. He never fails, does he, Brother Greg? Never. But how we find peace more and more, only in him. You know, Paul, I am always amazed at these simple words in Philippians chapter 3. After all that he experienced, because again, I think this is one of his last. This is towards the end. He's in Rome, you know. And he has these simple words, finally, my brethren, rejoice in our Lord Jesus. He's all of our joy. He's all of our everything. And it's, the love affair goes so far beyond a nice song and worship service. It goes through experience. It goes through pain. He says, you go through the place where I've despaired of life. It goes through the places I've been beaten. I've been imprisoned. You know, it goes through all of those things. And then finally he says, through all of those things, he's more precious than he ever was. And then he finally says, the time of my departure is at hand. I was just reading, Peter said the same thing. The Lord just showed me I have to put off this tabernacle. Hey, I'm ready to go. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. That's, you know what? It's the truth. It really is. So this thing that we're on is not, oh, I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to act right. Well, I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to do the right thing. And it's so far beyond that, is this intimate walk and this intimate transformation and this intimate place of purging. You know, you bear a little fruit, oh, okay, here comes the pruning shears. Ouch! Yeah, but you don't understand how much I love you. Ouch! And the ouches get a little bit stronger, don't they? But he gets sweeter with each ouch. And only by experience can you say things like that and mean it, right? Praise his name. Thank you, Brother Greg. That was wonderful. God be praised. You have found a song? You have a song?
Uh-huh. 13th, Rain in Me.
There you go. Rain in Me. Would you stand with me? That's the desire. Yeah. You know, I mean, look at all the things Paul went through. I'm just amazed. Jesus, one of his last things was rejection. What's one of the last things Paul says about him? All men have left me. Well, yeah, same thing with Brother Branham in this day. Rejected king, right? He goes from meetings of hundreds of thousands to meetings of tens of thousands to meetings of hundreds of thousands back to trailer houses. And finally, who wants you? Nobody would have him, right? Rejected king. Did Jesus? No, Jesus just became more precious, right? Amen. Precious by the day, Lord. Our love. Isn't it interesting how it works, Lord, through pain, through heartache? Our love grows. It's like you crush a rose and the sweeter it smells. Got laws of nature out there to tell us these things. It's hard for the human mind, for the carnal mind to conceive, and they'll run away from it, but the soul of your seed runs to it. The carnal mind says that's goofy, that's foolish, but the soul says it's lovely. So I pray that we open our hearts and lives, and let the soul reign, the soul that says amen to every word, let that soul blossom forth. And truly, the thinking man's filter, the word through the soul, out into the human spirit and out into the human body, reign in full fullness. Grant, O Lord, we commit ourselves into your hand. Thank you for the word tonight. Bring us ever closer into it, Lord. We give you praise and thanksgiving now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.